Good morning. I'm Rick Bryan. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to both those that are here in person, although I see the front row is still empty. It's okay. And online. We pray you'll experience the presence of the living Jesus here today. I have a few announcements to make. On February 23, which is next week, following worship, Pastor Noah and Addison will host us at the Parish House for the Manse Open House. There will be heavy hors d'oeuvres and plenty of fellowship. Join us then. The season of Lent is just around the corner. The calendar is moving along. Join us on Wednesday, March 5 at 5:45 p.m. for the Ash Wednesday service as we begin the penitential season. Finally, join us in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments down the hall after the service today. Are there any other announcements? Hearing none, I will add that we are blessed today to have David Schwobel with us because Marcus is out of town, but even if he was in town, we still would be blessed. And let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you, David. Please rise if you're able for the call to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works, and the works of your hands I sing.
Thank you. human frailty, God still gathers us together to worship, and he greets you now with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you, angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right, please remain seated for the call to confession and prayer of confession. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from our past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. Grant us grace to grow more and more into your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.
God's love is revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved, but that God has loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given all scripture for our benefit. And so we pray, send your Holy Spirit and illumine your word, that as the scriptures are read and your gospel proclaimed, our hearts and minds may be turned to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Turn with me in your copy of God's word to the book of Jonah, chapter 3, starting in the 10th verse. We're nearing the end of our time in the book of Jonah. As we have seen, Jonah has gone through really three movements at this point. He's gone through God calling him to go to Nineveh, one. He rejecting that call and running in the opposite direction, two. Three, God calls him again after the whale has spewed him onto the shore. And now we move into the fourth, which is a return again, a repeat of last time. Jonah running away from God, this time not literally, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so we will see then a little bit into the psyche, into the heart of Jonah, what he's been sort of feeling all along, even as his external circumstances have sought to change his mind, as God has sought to show him what God desires. So listen now to God's word from the book of the prophet Jonah. When God saw what they, the Ninevites, did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jonah's preaching was a success. The message which God had given him had reached to the farthest edges of the city. The people had turned from their ways, and God had relented from his promised wrath. Of all the prophets and apostles, preachers and evangelists across history, I don't think anyone can make a claim of such monumental success as changing an entire city with just one sermon. Jonah, however, was not quite feeling this sense of triumph. We are shocked to read in the text that instead of the joy and celebration that one expects to accompany such success, Jonah is bitterly angry. So much so that he asks that his life would be taken from him. It's an odd reaction, to say the least, to respond to achievement with anger. Artists don't get angry when their work is accepted into some prestigious museum. Musicians don't get angry when their compositions receive a standing ovation. At least I hope not. Jonah had just preached to the toughest crowd in his life. And everyone responded positively. Even, the text tells us, even the animals. So why would he melt down in this fit of rage? Well, as often is the case for us humans, it is unfortunately in our anger that the truth comes out. And here we learn what was in the heart of Jonah all along. Verse 2. Is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from punishment. If you've been paying attention to the book as we've been reading, this is really the argument that Jonah has been having with God from the beginning. We can imagine it, what he's saying to God: I just knew you would do something like this. These pagans are evil, they're truly evil, and yet you relent simply because they promised to change. I know you are a merciful God, but this has gone too far. The Lord had promised to preserve the people of Israel and accomplish his purposes through them. So how can he, God, at the same time, uphold his promises to the people and relent from destroying the people's enemies? How can he show mercy to the enemies of Israel? In Jonah's mind, this then is a theological issue. He sees it as a contradiction between God's justice and God's mercy, between God's promises to his people and God's actions towards others. Jonah's words of anger, however, show us a little deeper. That this is not merely a problem of the mind. He was not simply facing a mental dilemma or being perplexed by a theological conundrum. Jonah says that he wants to die. He wants to die instead of facing the reality of what God has done. God has shown mercy to Nineveh. Here we see straight into Jonah's heart. When Jonah says that he cannot go along with the reality, he shows that something has been lost. He has lost something that he valued more than God. Let me say it again. As God is telling him, I have shown mercy to these people, and he's responding, then I should just die. He is showing us that he valued something more than God. Tim Keller comments here saying, his explosive anger shows that Jonah is willing to discard his relationship with God if he does not get this thing. When you say, I won't serve you, God, unless I get X, then X is your true bottom line, your highest love, your real God. End quote. So what was this thing for Jonah? Well, as we have mentioned, Nineveh's repentance and God's relenting meant that Israel's greatest enemy would be spared. It seemed that the will of God and the political fortunes of Israel were diverging. And Jonah leaves no doubt as to which of these two were most important to him. If he had to choose between serving God and supporting his nation, he would readily push God away. This was not just a love or concern for one's country. That's never a bad thing. But it was making his country into an idol. Jonah placed something other than God as ultimate in his life. And that turned him away from God and towards rebellion again. Now, this is not just Jonah's problem. This is the universal human problem. The prophet Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. As a result of the fall, all of us will try to put our loyalty and all of our love into that which is not God. And what the Bible tells us is that when we have an inordinate love for anything that is not God, it will always turn sour. An inordinate love for money turns to greed. An inordinate love of food becomes gluttony. An inordinate love for nation becomes patriotic prejudice. To love anything more than God, to count as ultimate anything other than the Almighty, is to create an idol and to turn away from the will of God. For Jonah, he placed the interests of Israel over the interests of God for all people. As God's missionary, he should have been overjoyed that the Ninevites were turning from their ways, that they were responding to God's call. But he wasn't. He was furious. Keller again takes this a step further and applies it to us. He says, when Christian believers care more for their own interests and their own security than for the good and salvation of others, they are sinning like Jonah. If they, Christians, value the economic and military flourishing of their countries over the good of the human race and the furtherance of God's work in the world, they are sinning like Jonah. Now, this goes for anything: comfort, money, political ideologies, ego, the list goes on. When any of these in our lives are placed above God's desire for the world, we begin to sin like Jonah. And I'll tell you that I'm not any less guilty of this than anyone else. And I have to daily check myself and to say, who am I really serving? Am I serving myself? Or am I serving God? This heart issue, this issue of the heart, touches every aspect of our lives. It influences how we deal with the world. It moves us to either love or to hate our neighbors. It changes how we serve God, or at least how we think we are serving God. When the heart is set on anything over God, the whole of our lives will turn sour. John Calvin reminds us, the heart is a perpetual factory of idols. The question is, what are we making into the idols of our hearts? In showing mercy to the Ninevites, God was extending Jonah an invitation to understand differently God's desire for the world, a desire that would include Gentiles, these pagans, just as much as that included Israel. The Lord was giving a picture of God's work of reconciling all things to himself. And he was saying, Jonah, you can be a part of this great plan. But the prophet rejected this invitation by considering the concerns of his life greater than the concerns of God's heart. Now God extends this same invitation to us. An invitation which has come to its fullness in Jesus Christ. We are invited to share in the salvation of those from every tribe and tongue and nation, even our own neighbors, to witness to the reconciliation of all things in Christ. Yet in our hardness of heart, we push God away. And we place our concerns as ultimate. Now, if this was the final word, there would not be much hope in the world for us. But the good news of the gospel is that even when we turn from God, God never turns from us. In Jesus Christ, God comes to us. He takes our brokenness on himself and he gives us his life. These hard hearts of ours, he transforms into hearts that begin to desire what God desires. When we come to him, placing all those things which we once thought were ultimate down, Christ claims us as his own, and gives us grace that is, as we all know, amazing. It's that grace that opens us to love God just as we ought, and to serve just as God has called us to serve. See, this is what Jonah didn't get. He didn't understand the grace of God and what it means for the world. God stands before you today, and he says, "Come to me. Be transformed by my grace. Desire what I desire for the world. And in that way, be set free." May you this day respond afresh to God's call. Lay down the idols of your heart and begin to see and serve the world just as God would have us see and serve. May it be so. Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you call us to love the world with your heart. Yet we too often turn away, wrapped in our own desires, following our own path. Transform us, O God, that we might not be hard-hearted, but seek to follow our risen Lord and where he leads. And hear us now, your children, as we lift before you our prayers. Holy Creator, all things were made to give you glory and honor. By your power, turn all nations and peoples to the way of justice and peace, that seeking the common good, we would all praise your name. We pray, O God, for an end to war and violence in every place, especially, O God, those who face violence and warfare in Ukraine, in Israel-Palestine, in Syria, in Sudan, in the Congo. Lord, may your peace be known, and may justice flow. We pray for peace in our own nation, O God, that you would bring unity where there is discord, that you would bind together that which is being fractured, so that we might recognize one another not as enemies but as neighbors, and so seek to fulfill our common calling. Lord, we also lift to you those who serve this day, especially doctors, nurses, chaplains, and all those who work in medical fields. We pray that you would steady their hands and their hearts, that you would give them wisdom and discernment to care as you have called them to care, and to be healers as you are the great physician. Holy Redeemer, you gather your church from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Grant us vision to see your desire for the world, and help us to proclaim your gospel until your kingdom comes in full. We pray, Almighty God, for our denomination, for the Presbyterian Church, and for our presbytery, the James, that as we seek to move forward in our calling to proclaim Christ, that we may have faithfulness, courage, zeal, and love to follow where you are leading, to be challenged by one another, to build one another up, as we seek to be an expression of your body in Central Virginia. We pray also, O God, for all the churches of Goochland County, that we may serve our communities as you call us to serve, that we may seek not our good, but the good of our neighbors, and in all things may we preach Christ and him crucified. And Lord, we lift before you this congregation which you have called Hebron. We pray that you would help us to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk in the way, to love one another, even across difference, and so to be a picture of your kingdom that is to come. Holy Comforter, in you is the power of healing and wholeness. Grant your presence to those in need this day, especially those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. We lift before you those who are on our hearts. O Blessed Trinity, we lift before you our cares. We lay them at your throne, trusting your grace and praying as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen. God's call to us is to give of our whole selves to the work of his kingdom. And so let us give of our life and labors to the proclamation of the gospel and the building up of God's church.
God, you pour out your grace upon us in abundance, and so with gratitude and faith we give back just a portion of it to the work of your kingdom for the building up of your church. Sanctify these gifts, we pray, and let us use them with wisdom and discernment, that all your will may be done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We are.
to look at ourselves honestly, to see where does our heart lay. Does it lay in the concerns of our world? Does it lay on our own interests? Or is it in God, the one who calls us and claims us? He gives us grace that even when we fall, we are his. So go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and always. Amen.